or the Hairy Bikers. I'm Si.
And I'm Dave. And it's time once again for us to magically transform into the Agony Uncles. Your caring, sharing, hairy balls of wisdom.
Between us, we'll help you with your worries, because sometimes you never know what life's going to throw at you, do you? You don't. Well, chances are it's already been thrown at me and me best mate. So we'll do our very best to help you on the path of happiness and enlightenment.
Yes, if life comes along and drops a jobby through your letterbox, email us, theagonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's theagonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
Posing the problems today, as always, is the master of wonderfulness, Mr. Jeeves.
Hello. Nice to see everyone. And, it's been a busy postbag, not least because a week ago the book dropped out, the new book, Eat Well Every Day. And we've had so many messages from listeners to the podcast who have got their copies of their new book dropping through their letterbox and really happy about that. Thank you very much, especially to Jen Greenhow, who said, hello, you lovely pair. Look what was waiting for me on my return from work this evening. Thank you for some amazing recipes. There you are. There's a picture of Jen, very happy with her book.
Well done, Jen.
Yeah, and enjoying the podcast as well. So, fantastic stuff. And it's a busy week in terms of problems this week, so I hope you got your caring heads on.
Oh, you have. We have. And here she is. The Farrowing Ball cat's breath to our B&Q Magnolia. She's posh tash.
Better than the cat's arse, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, who thinks of those names? Is it Ghost Whisper or something? I don't know.
Elephant Grey.
Yeah, they're so popular as well. It's one of my massive bugbears. It's when you go into a shop like Farrowing Ball and you look for a white paint and they go, what kind of white? And you sort of go, I just want white. And they go, well, we've got this white or this white. And they paint the whites on. It's not bloody white. It's grey. That's grey. That's blue. That one's green. But they're all called white.
White.
Yes.
And I just want white.
It's a palette. It's a palette.
So, chalk white.
Chalk white,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes. I do like Farrowing Ball paint, though.
They are good.
It is very good. Because you paint it like several times. And then depending on what light is in your house at the time, natural or otherwise, it turns like slightly different shades.
But that's frustrating. When you're standing there with a tester in the dark, and then it's not the same as your daytime one. And you can't tell that in a shop unless you paint it on your wall at home. And then you make the tester patch bigger and bigger. And then you might as well have painted the wall with the tester box anyway by the time you got to it.
Yeah, that
problems. And the overall effect is wherever you live, you just end up looking as though you live in the Cotswolds.
It's very true, you do. That's so true. Right, Dave, let's get solving, mate. Get your jingly, wingly, fingerly, dingly out.
All right, a big one today. Bong!
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy Jack and Ori? 'Cause I heard your advice is the best.
In today's mind-melding mashup of malaise, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you're going to be finding solutions to these terrible troubles and traumettes. We have POTS panic. We have friend travel failure. We have relationship confusion. And in confidential corner, we have naughty neighbour niggles. But we're going to start with some POTS panic. This comes from Catherine, who says, dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, Duchess Tash, which is a new one. And Sir Duke, I've listened to all your podcasts while on the round window cleaning in South Norfolk. I do get some strange looks when I burst out laughing at the things some of your listeners get up to. Anyway, here's my question. We're soon going to move house, and although it's my dream house, the kitchen has fewer cupboards than my present home. So how many pans is too many? I use a 3-tier steamer for my veg. I have 2 different size cast iron stove topped oven casserole dishes, 6 different size saucepans with lids, 3 frying pans, 1 wok, a griddle pan for putting lines on your steak, also various muffin and cake and flan tins. I use them all at some point. Help! We can't afford a new kitchen just yet. What can I do? And what do I really need? Asks Catherine. Over to you.
Buy a wok. When we were in Hong Kong, do you remember that lady? And she informed us, like on the 57th floor of a tower block, feeding a family of 6, that all he needed was a chopping block, a chopper, and a wok. And she indeed produced a six-course banquet out of that said wok, chopping block and chopper in about 20 minutes.
Catherine, you're just going to have to find space. You'll always find space.
Yeah.
I mean, because all of those things are kind of pretty essential in the kitchen. It's just, that's what you, you know, that's what you need, isn't it? I don't think there's anything that you, that Catherine said that's remotely out there.
What you could do is the old-fashioned way of doing a batterie de cuisine, you know, like hanging from the ceiling, you put your nice pans on there. Or indeed, what we did was go to a second-hand shop, you know, the old clothes racks?
Yeah.
And just put one of those up, well, obviously, so it's not going to fall, and just put the pads on with butcher's hooks.
I think it's a great idea. I was actually going to suggest that. I was going to make it a piece of art. Make it fun. Put your saucepans on the wall. And it, exactly that, Dave. I think it's a great idea. So in the cupboards, actually, they're a nightmare to get out. They're hanging up. It's much easier.
It is. I've got loads of them hanging. And if you're over 6 foot three, you take the top of your head off.
Old tin hat. It's
just that's how we got into percussion, you know. It's bang, 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 bang.
It is. Two wooden spoons, yeah.
Yeah, but you've got all those posh copper ones that are hanging above your central aisle.
Yes,
I do. Yeah, they're nice. They take some polishing, though.
Yeah, they're a bugger, I have to say. I got them. People sell stuff, don't they, that they don't know the value of. And I just saw them and I thought, I'm having them. Mm. And I got them from, they were delivered in eBay or something, maybe eBay. But the thing was, there's a problem, you see, I've got to get them re-zinced or re-tinned because they're just raw copper pans. And
it's tinned food.
So they look nice, but you can't use them.
They're fabulous, but...
In fact, that's an ornament, it's not a pan, so it's irrelevant to our listeners' question.
It is, yes. Which is why they're in the garage.
Yeah, I think what I've tended to do, though, is as I've gone on with my cooking, I've got better quality pans, and the better quality pans have been the ones that seem to get used all the time.
Yeah.
And then I have, like, the cupboard, which is inaccessible, the stuff I use now and again. You know, I like the stripy one for your steaks. You know, that's not every day, but then a couple of good frying pans and sauce pans. And that's it, as I said, a wok. So wok's a very versatile instrument.
Yeah. Have you two got your favourite that you wouldn't go anywhere without? Is there a favourite knife or a saucepan or a sauce, little mini sauce, you know, what are they, the tiny ones called? There's a name for the tiny, tiny sauce pans, aren't there?
Yes, there are, and I can't remember the name is.
No. But do you have a favourite? You have to go everywhere. If you're going to cook a meal, you've got to have that implement with you.
Knives. I always try and take, if it's especially like self-catering stuff,
yeah.
I always take my knives because I'm always in the kitchen cooking people's dinner.
But knives, you only need about three, like a big bread knife, a little knife, and an in-betweeny knife. And really with that, you can do everything.
Yeah.
There's that company Kin that we've got a lot of knives from. There's a bread knife that Tony, the owner, gave. He sadly passed away. And that bread knife's unbelievable because it's not like a normal bread knife. It's very long and thin. And but by God, is it good. It's serrated. Even if you're cutting a tomato, you know, it just cuts so fine.
So satisfying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel like a ninja every time I pick it up.
So good.
Oh, well, Catherine, it looks like the simple answer is you'll need to find space. There doesn't seem to be any other way around it. You haven't got anything that's mad, and everything that you've got, you'll probably need at some point. So find the space seems to be the advice, yes?
Gonna need a bigger kitchen.
Take them to the bedroom. Hang them in the bedroom. Never know, yeah.
You pervert.
Oh, you always turn things filthy. I've heard of waking up with a panhandle, but it's not that.
Batch it down. Just get one. I'll get that down. I'm getting up now.
Food makes everything better.
All right. Now, it's time for our next problem. It's called the Friend Travel Fail. We need two ladies' names, but they need to be, if possible, Belgian ladies' names. So there's a challenge for you, Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, a Belgian ladies' name each from you.
Glad it's you, not me this week.
Oh, you wait.
Oh, God.
I used to have two Belgian assistants when I worked in Luxembourg, except we called them the Sprouts because they were from Brussels. It's true. So I'm trying to think of the names, but it's not. They were the Sprouts.
What about Hilda? Hilda? No.
I think Joe. Christina.
Christina.
With a K.
With a K.
Rhea.
Rhea. Okay, Christina with a K and Ray. And this comes from Christina. That's okay. That's entirely Belgian, probably. So Christina writes, "Good morning, Uncle Dave and Si, the Duke and the Queen of Poshness," writes Christina.
This is getting better. Honestly,
it gets better. I love it.
It's getting out of hand. "I'm writing to you from Bruges in Belgium.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, lovely city.
Following you for years on the telly, I have three of your cooking books. The start of your podcast coincided with the start of my own treatment for cancer, and the podcast helped me through some very difficult nights and days. So thank you for that. At the moment, my cancer is stable, and I try to enjoy every waking moment and enjoy an occasional city trip. Why this long introduction? Well, my last city trip to Barcelona turned into a slight nightmare due to my friend, Rhea, accompanying me. She turned out to have no consideration whatsoever for me. She didn't listen when I asked to take a rest when walking, and refused when I asked to take a bus or a metro. We had quite the argument on day three, where I just jumped on a bus to the hotel and left her standing on the pavement. I have decided that I will never, ever go on holiday again with Rhea. But apparently she has no clue how bad her behaviour was, and she's asked me to go on a city trip to Rome. Can you help me with tips on how to tell her that she's awful and I don't want to go? Many thanks," says Christina. Oh, and P.S. My apologies if I made spelling mistakes, but my English is not my mother tongue. I can tell you, Christina, that you made fewer spelling mistakes than most of the English people who wrote to us. So, well done. advice for Christina.
Well, I think Christina, you know, you have to tell her that you know, you just thought that she was really inconsiderate and very, very unhelpful given what you were going through. And I think that she needs to know that because she seems a bit of a thicket. You know, how can you, if you're that poorly, and you're asking your mate for a rest, then that's what you do, surely, isn't it? You know, she's just got to tell her that she was a horrible travel companion and very inconsiderate given the situation.
Now, we had a similar thing recently. We went away, and we, as a family, we booked like a spa day, which was really important to us, you know, to relax. But some other members of the family came from away, and yes, we'll do this. We've got that. We want to take you there because we want you to see this. We want you to do that. We do that. And in the end, I was lucky because Lil was the one who just said, no, it's not going to happen. But by God, it took some persuading.
It's weird, isn't it?
Maybe they just don't understand. Maybe she needs telling because she just doesn't realise what's taken out of her.
Yeah.
And I just think you're right, Si. She just needs telling. I think it's a little harsh to turn around and say, I'm never going away with you again. You've got to give her a chance to say, sorry, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's fair enough to say, look, under these circumstances, I can't go away with you.
Yeah.
You know, we either find a compromise or I'm just better off at home.
Yeah.
Because she can't do it. I know how she feels.
Well, she says, I'll go away if it's a spa day. I'll go away and sit in a spa. I'd love to spend time with you. I'd love to do anything. But if you need to go to a city to walk around and hike around, do every museum, go out late at night, I'm not your pal. That's just not me.
No, it's not going to happen.
And it's a shame.
It is a shame because it's just wrong. It's just wrong. Because, you know, you've got to be considerate. Surely, man, you've got to be.
Or maybe it's just that she wanted to pretend that nothing was wrong. Lots of people can't cope with that sort of life's not as you want it to be. Maybe she was trying to give her a great weekend and fun and just didn't realise how hard she was pushing her.
Yeah, I suspect that's probably the truth, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you stick your head above the parapet, people think that's back to normal. But,
it's,
you know,
not.
Which generally is, you break your leg. You know, you've got, if you're lucky, you have 3 months or whatever in plaster and then it's off and then physio.
Yeah.
Then you're back to normal. You know, but sometimes things like this take a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
And hitting Barcelona is not an easy one. You know, if it, again, pick your cities.
Exactly.
And Rome, depends what time of year you go to Rome. You know, if it's busy, you know, and if you can't move that fast, then you're going to be jostled
hot.
And hustled.
Oh,
And it's hot. And it's, I think she has to have a little check-in with consideration and kindness, I think.
Well, she suggests going on a cruise around the Norwegian fjords or something where she can just sit and look out the window and she's not hiking the cities.
Yeah.
Maybe that's that way around.
Yeah. There's that, yeah.
Find a new friend.
Yeah. And then when you get to port, she's going to have to get off on her own if she wants to have a tootle round.
Yeah.
Imagine, I went on a cruise years ago. The only one I've been on. And I used to hate it when we came into port. I was having such a good time. Lil said to us, we're far too young to go on a cruise. We can't do this. And I kind of rapidly fell into the lifestyle, really. Oh, it was great.
Lord of the Seas, sitting there, watching the world go by.
Yes, eating myself stupid, drinking myself stupid. And going to a cinema in the Mediterranean in the afternoon. How decadent and wasteful was it? But it was fabulous.
It's a holiday, isn't it? I have to say, yeah. I've never done one, and I just can't imagine being trapped at sea. The fear of not being able to get off, which I think would scare me.
Oh, obviously the way around, yeah. I had a fear of getting off. I woke up one morning, Lil goes, hey, we're in Dubrovnik. And I'm going, here, yeah, whatever.
See ya.
Oh, no, I went. But then you get off and then there's somebody with a, you know, there's always coaches end up at the docks and you can see the locals thinking, oh, here they come. You're one of them, aren't you? You're trying to, no, I'm not one of them. I'm not a tourist, I'm a traveller. No, you're a tourist on a cruise ship.
Captive audience, there's a little bank of market stalls as they greet your boat in.
Yeah.
You don't go any further and they think they've seen the city.
Yeah, yeah.
She needs a very healthy dose of empathy, this real lady, and she needs to be told. And I think that her friend is in a very good position, albeit not the best of circumstances to tell her.
Yeah,
and you can do it very kindly and gently, but
also it depends whether you fit or not. People have different ideas what a holiday is.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people like a city holiday, watching museums and turning around like a madman or woman, and yet other people like to crash on a beach, and both are equally good.
Yeah.
So maybe Christina's needs for a holiday have changed. So Ria's has got to either change or adjust to have separate holidays.
It's good advice. And thank you very much, Christina, for getting in touch with us. And we give you all of our best love as well for your recovery and hope that things go well for you. Okay, we're going to take a short break now.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the Agony Uncles a line.
Welcome back to the Agony Uncles. And your next problem is called relationship confusion. For this, we need one lady and one male name. Uncle Si, a lady's name, please. And Uncle Dave, a gentleman's name.
Ronald.
Ronald.
Glenda.
And Glenda. Glenda writes, Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, Posh Tash, and the Thin White Duke. After many years of online dating, followed by periods of genuinely enjoyable single life, I finally met a wonderful man who makes me very happy. We met a couple of months ago. We've been out on lots of lovely dates together. His name is Ronald. We often spend long evenings and mornings and afternoons together. I honestly haven't felt this happy in years. Hairy bikers, I think I'm falling for him.
Oh, how nice.
It's lovely, isn't it? It's only been a couple of months, so I know it's early days, but I haven't felt joy and passion like this since a previous relationship, which lasted from my early to mid-20s. I'm now in my mid-30s. Now, that relationship that I refer to ended unexpectedly, and my heart wasn't just broken, it was shattered to pieces, and if I'm honest, it took me years to recover. In the years that followed, I've had a few short relationships which I ended because I knew I wasn't happy. And I couldn't help but compare them to my previous relationship, which always felt so significant. Now that I'm starting to develop strong feelings for Ronald, I've realised that I'm ready for a meaningful and committed relationship. But how do I know if this is what he wants? In previous relationships, the guys I've been seeing have always brought this up in quite a straightforward way. In other words, I'm used to knowing where I stand with someone. And in the past, this conversation has kind of happened around the 6 to 8 week mark. In truth, I'm terrified that my current happiness might be taken away. He's given me no reason to think this, but equally, he hasn't asked me to be his girlfriend. He has told me he's not seeing anyone else. So is it simply too soon to ask anything further? Will such a conversation scare him off? Or, after 2 months, is it reasonable to ask him where I stand? Are we in a relationship? Your advice hugely appreciated, says Glenda. Over to you.
Well, it's the old foundation of any relationship is this communication, isn't it? She just needs to have a chat with him and just go, listen, I really quite like you. So are we all right? Don't you think we can, take this forward?
After 2 months, you should have a hint whether you're boyfriend and girlfriend or not. If you've gone beyond the handshake, as it were.
If they come beyond the handshake, where you stand. But she's really stressed because she knows what she wants it to be. She wants the answer, yes, I'm your girlfriend. Yes, she wants the answer, yes, we're going to be together. Yes, it's the most significant relationship I've had too. And she's overthinking needing that. And I'm just thinking, if she's enjoying it and he's seeing her and he's said, I'm not seeing anybody else, and it's only 2 months, which I think is actually quite short, then I think she should just enjoy every day she's got with it while she's happy, rather than overcomplicating it and having the conversation and making it more serious, because then the pressure piles on. And if he doesn't give her the right answer, it's gone again. So I think life's too short. Live every day while you're happy and having a great time and see where it takes you. And if it falls apart, it falls apart.
I think that's eloquently said. I just think,
harsh but fair.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, it is. Yeah, God, you wouldn't want to go out with Tash, would you?
No.
Oh, yeah, hi, I've had a lovely time, you dumped. Oh, right, okay. Right. Grant?
I was actually thinking of the men, because I sometimes think women, we do overthink it massively. We want to know what it is and what you're feeling. Well, you often might be just feeling something similar, but you don't articulate it the same. And I think if you put him on the spot and have a serious conversation, then it makes something out of nothing. Well, right now, she's got no reason to think it. She's incredibly happy. She's having a lovely time. Why jeopardise it?
Yeah.
So are you being sexist and stipulating that men aren't articulate?
No. I was saying that women are overthinkers. So I'm actually being sympathetic to a possibly sexist remark I just made.
Well, what you're saying.
Maybe I'm being unfair. Maybe he's desperate to say something. He's desperately shy. He doesn't want to overthink it either. And he wants her to say something. So maybe she should. But now I'm contradicting everything I just said.
Yes, you are. Stick with the first one. It was great. And I think, you know, if they're having a lovely time together, then that's it. That just take it as that. And then at time's an amazing thing, you know. It'll all just unfold in a really natural, organic way.
Yeah. That's the best relationship.
The rest will follow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's exactly that. The rest.
Do you know
follows.
What happens sometimes? You think you're in that relationship, and then you get an invite. One of you gets an invite to a wedding, and it says, "Do bring somebody," or "plus one," and then you have to have that conversation, and that often can be a real trigger for the person to go, "Oh, well, no, thanks." They don't want to be shown off as your other half. But if they go, yeah, we'd love to come along, and you suddenly are parading this new person in your life to everybody else, you sort of form into being a proper couple, and everyone sees them as your other half. And hey, presto, your boyfriend and girlfriend. So she needs to fake
so
a wedding.
So she could actually fake a wedding. Yeah.
Hold on.
That's genius. I think that's genius. And if he goes yes, then she can always say, "Oh, the couple have broke it off. Isn't that sad?" Yeah. She knows then.
Yes, clever.
Yeah, the fake wedding.
The fake wedding.
Print one on your computer.
Yeah. Put it on the fridge, and then he'll see it's just normal. It came in the post. Oh, I love it. We've got a plan.
I didn't even think. I accelerated all the way to the event, and I was thinking, well, that's a bit much. I mean, the organisation that would take, I couldn't be asked.
The wedding simply doesn't exist.
Yes, quite.
Then,
but
you know,
in my head,
if he goes no, whatever happens, the couple have had a falling out.
Oh God, I'm so stupid. So
he was already in a tuxedo. He'd already got the hat at the wedding. He was there at the wedding.
I was there. I didn't even think you could remotely cancel it. That's genius.
Dave and I were at the printers. Only the printers.
Only the printers. I'd put the cake.
I was doing it on my computer at home. Learning to spell wedding. You know, being an inarticulate man. I'd have to use spell check.
Oh God! Yeah. Oh.
Right, we've solved that problem. That's the best problem we've solved so far.
I think that is the best solution.
That's sheer genius,
Glenda. That's the answer to your problem.
It's the answer to your problems. And for anyone else listening, that's what it's like inside Tash's head. Never trust her with anything
at all, ever.
But she makes a great manager.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Plus one, hairy biker.
Oh, God, Dave, we'll have to keep an eye out for that, mate.
Right.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk, just send an email to the Agony Uncles.
All right, it's time to head to Confidential Corner.
Oh, I thought that was it.
I'm
really off the boil today, aren't I?
I can't.
It's just my heart's pounding. I'm still at the wedding.
Well, you've had fair warning now, so let's do it again. It's time to head to Confidential Corner.
Duh, 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 duh.
Brilliant. For this, it's called The Annoying Neighbour, and we need one male name. And who haven't we asked yet?
Me again. I'm in a different room today, and I'm not prepared.
You're never prepared. How often do we do this? Every week.
You never, ever. Apart from borrowing your neighbour's names, you never do it.
I've got a chocolate egg in front of me and a cord for a guitar solo. I have... Okay. Wait, don't move. History of Britain. I'm opening it up.
History. Oh. Right, what name are we going to have?
Oh, Albert.
Oh, it'd be bloody Ethelred.
Ethelred, yes.
I probably could get down there. What have we got? I've got Albert.
Albert. Yeah. This comes from Albert, who says, "Dear uncles and the Queen, you are now just the Queen. Throughout this podcast, you progressed in regal terms. I have a really annoying neighbour," says Albert. "Our houses are semi-detached, the walls quite thin. He insists on having his television on super loud, which winds me up. But as I'm British, I'm completely unable to say anything to him directly."
That's so true.
"When I came home from work a few weeks ago, I happened to notice through his lounge window that his television looked a bit like mine. So that evening, when it was blasting out the Great British Bake Off at ear-splitting levels, I leant out of my window, pointed my TV remote at his window, and pressed the mute button. Hey presto, the sound went off."
Oh,
brilliant.
Genius.
That's brilliant.
Genius.
"He put it back on. I turned it off again. He put it back on, I turned it off again. This went on for about 5 minutes until I heard him swear, stomp upstairs, job done. If I can ever hear his TV through the wall, I just employ this trick, and after a few minutes, he loses his temper and all is quiet again. Another time, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I switched his TV on, selected one of the adult channels available on Freeview, and switched it off again. A couple of days later, my wife told me of a blazing row she'd heard from next door with my neighbour's wife berating my neighbour for watching dirty TV channels when she'd gone to bed. I'm enjoying my new power too much, and you need to tell me to stop, as my neighbour doesn't seem himself anymore, and he's had curries out twice to look at his TV. Or should I just continue to have fun?" Asks Albert. Over to you.
Oh, God.
Do you know what I worry now is that... everybody's going to be having a go at this with the neighbours, aren't they? Yeah? You're sitting down watching Coronation Street, EastEnders. I hate it when stuff like that doesn't work. Tellies don't work, computers don't work. That's genius, Bert.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. One of the best letters yet. I absolutely love it. Don't stop. I want more letters.
Oh no! I think this could be Albert's ongoing saga. I think this is this is sheer and utter genius.
The only downside is going to be is when Albert works it out and he starts reciprocating and doing it back. Then it'll be all out remote control war.
Well, then somebody's going to have to buy another. You know what? The best thing to do though, get another telly. Right, Albert. If Albert buys another telly and keeps the remote from his old telly, I mean that's job done, isn't it?
Then he'll never guess. Then never guess. Then
that's good.
That's genius.
I love that.
Oh God, I mean, I
presume he's actually knocked at the door first before he started his campaign of terror and just said, "Can you turn your telly down? It's pissing me off."
Do you know? I wonder that he hasn't done that, because if you think about it, if then that neighbour would think, "Oh, it's probably them," they'll go around and say something. So he hasn't gone for the conversation. He's gone all out brilliant first.
Mm. Oh, yeah. The campaign of telly terror. Oh,
Robo Wars.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
God, I just don't know what else could you do. You could keep recording, couldn't you? You could set a pattern. You could set it to turn off when you don't want it. Maybe that's nicer. Maybe it's just the turn off, not put the porn on, because the poor wife's having a shocker now. Maybe just have it to switch off at 3 a.m.
Well, if he's watching something that you know has got a really exciting climax, just as it's coming up either to the rude bit or the exciting bit, boom, turn off. Oh, bollocks! What's happened to me telly?
Can
you imagine he's at the TV repairman out twice? Oh, no. It's working fine, Gov. Oh, and they're going to get fed up with him as well. But it's not working. It is.
I love that. Oh, Debbie Does Dallas. I haven't bought it, honestly. I didn't do it.
I can see your mind working, Kingy.
Yeah, man.
Kingy will be hoping someone else turns over.
Oh. Like, imagine the fun you could have in hotels, because they've all got the same tellies, haven't they?
Of course. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I tell you what, yeah. I'm thinking about moving into a semi-detached. I'm loving the idea of this.
Is this after you've booked the wedding or before?
I thought I'd move into the semi-detached, and while I was there, book the wedding.
Good idea.
I was going to say, you can see people going out to the pub now this evening, all going, oh, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, lovely bank holiday. It's good to get together with the neighbours. So what TV do you have? We just think to buy a new one. What have you got? A whole street suddenly got Curry's deliveries going down.
Yeah. You can imagine he's just watching the coronation. The crown's about to go on the head. Next minute, SpongeBob SquarePants comes on.
Oh, man.
All the fun you could have.
Oh, this is epic.
This isn't a problem. Albert, no problem here.
Yeah, I was going to say, we just need to go around the table, but I think we know where we are with this one. Albert's question was, should I just continue to have fun or stop? Uncle Dave?
Continue to have fun, Albert, so it doesn't take the man to the brink of insanity.
Uncle Si?
Continue to have fun and take him past the brink of insanity. I want to be seen. I want to see him dancing naked in the backyard.
Going to a wedding.
I feel I should be the voice of reason and tell them all to stop and behave themselves, but I think it's too brilliant. You need to have the fun.
You can't.
That's so good.
I'd be so disappointed in you, Tash. It's just genius.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening to us on the Agony Uncles podcast, the hairiest podcast on the planet. A positive furball of fun. Remember to email us your problems to theagonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's theagonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
And while you do that, let me remind you that there'll be a new episode of The Agony Uncles every Friday. So just follow and subscribe to make sure you don't miss out, because that would be wrong.
And if enough people subscribe, we may be able to turn an honest shilling eventually from this podcast.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So, from Posh Tash.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. The Thin White Duke.
Bye.
And from us.
Bye.
Bye-bye, folks.